2017 Zoom session.
To order.
And I'll call Wayne County Planning Commission, June 6, 2017, for a session order.
Okay, this evening we have information being provided to us related to a zone change and plan amendment requested by Willamette Lane Park and Recreation District. At this time, I'll turn it over to Andy Umbard and Amber. Okay, first.
Okay, thank you. Welcome, everyone. It's been a number of years since I've had a joint planning commission meeting, and I guess forthcoming joint elected officials meeting for this action, so thanks, everyone, for attending. Normally, in the entire delineation of Springfield, we're looking at sites that are identified by a star. In this particular map, behind some of you, this is a sizable piece of the southeast quadrant of Springfield. It represents the Thurston Hills Natural Area Park that's planned by Willamette Lane, a ridgeline park, per se. And it extends from McKenzie Highway, where the historic gray home is still standing and part of this this area, all the way to the Weyerhaeuser Hall Road, which is just east of the Bob Straw Parkway and the Jasper Meadows neighborhood. So about 2.5 miles distance between those two points. And it contains about 666 or so acres, of which about 421 are inside the city limits, city UGB, of small portions inside the city limits. And the balance is within Lane County, outside of the Springfield urban growth boundary. So it has a joint jurisdictional overlap by virtue of its legal boundaries, not following geopolitical boundaries, so to speak. So the applicant is, I don't know if I can get the, which way I gotta point the direction pointer here for the, it's not even on, there we go. All right, bear with me. So staff has identified the portions of the property holding that are within Lane County jurisdiction. And it's just essentially to the south and southwest of existing developed neighborhoods in Thurston. The site, as identified on the Metro Plan diagram, is low density residential designation. The portion that falls outside of the Springfield urban growth boundary is forest designation. And the site, as identified in the city's residential land inventory, occupies a sizable portion of what was identified as vacant and potentially developable land. Staff does note that it is heavily constrained by steep slopes and landslide hazard areas, and we'll get a little bit more into that in the public hearing portion of this. The current zoning for this, low density residential, the proposed zoning being public land and open space, for the development of the trail system. And staff has also included the landslide hazard area, and the area is kind of outlined in a hot pink fuchsia down in the right-hand corner. So this, interestingly, at least from planning staff's point of view, we've had a couple of Metro Plan amendments forwarded by private applicants. They're not government or city or agency initiated. This one being, I guess, Willamette Lane, an agency initiated application, but it's not the city looking to make a change to its plans. It's a separate applicant who will be doing sort of the bulk of the presentation this evening. Staff will be providing the context for the, and the location for this, some general parameters for the criteria of approval, and then having the applicant provide the more detailed information about the reasoning and rationale for this Metro Plan amendment and zone change, as well as some of the planned development aspirations for this and the reasoning for requiring a plan amendment and zone change for this type of development. There are some fairly significant implications to the city's lands inventory. There has been expressions of interest from some watchdog groups that look at housing availability in the various communities across Oregon. No one has chimed in yet, but they did request copies of the staff report, and so from both the county and from the city, just to kind of gauge some of the impact and implications. One of the positive attributes of the applicant's submittal is they've differentiated between the flat land equivalent of residential land that this would represent versus what is really sort of the developable net amount of property. The applicant has found about 159 acres of the 421 within the city limit, the city urban growth boundary, as being sort of a developable land base that is going to be removed from the city's inventory. Currently, there is a surplus of residential lands that has been identified in the most recent inventory. That is a diminishing amount of property, as we've seen over the last, actually just the last year, where there have been a couple of applications to remove residential lands from the overall inventory, convert it to different use. And now the latest identification of a large land area, the net amount not exceeding the city's available surplus, but it's going to put a sizable dent in that. And so the implication for the city being another inventory is probably warranted very soon to try to figure out exactly how much land is available and what the sort of distribution is of residential lands. The long and protracted urban growth boundary expansion process being sort of an implication of that, I guess. So if you have any questions, I'd be happy to let Amber.
So you're saying you have a surplus of low density?
That's correct. It's roughly 300 acres. So this will represent more than half of that surplus.
And when was the last 20 year done for Springfield?
I believe it was in 2008.
Okay.
So we're halfway to the, almost halfway to through that inventory time frame.
So Andy, the arithmetic again, how many acres of land are inside the urban growth boundary?
It's about 421.
But only 159 of those are buildable?
Based on the applicant's findings, correct. And they used a slope analysis. They're looking to, at staff's suggestion, are looking to fine-tune that finding with some of the LIDAR data that the city has.
Sure.
On
slopes. Does the city's inventory include all 300 acres?
The city's inventory includes a portion of this that is deemed buildable on the slopes that are less than 25%, I believe.
So when the city does your math, not the applicant's math, you still come out with a bit of a surplus. You're not in the
correct.
City.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I had another question on that. So the math of the applicant was 159 acres, right?
Correct.
So the city, did they consider that to be 159 acres of buildable land before this application?
I don't think we got into that type of detail as to this area.
So was this buildable land considered, or not just the buildable land, but the low density residential, was that considered to be part of the surplus you calculated?
Yes.
Okay, so my question is, in that surplus, how much should you consider this land to be?
I don't know the answer to that one.
Okay. Right. Do you think it'd be much different from the 159 that they're claiming?
No, it's not, because they based it on, they did a more detailed analysis than we were even able to do in 2008 using current like topographic information.
Yeah.
And also the landslide hazard mapping.
Right.
So it does provide a more accurate representation of what the net developable would be in that area.
But similar considerations were used?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Thank you.
Questions?
So, Amber, for us, we're just doing the Metro Plan Amendment. There's no, we had another recent example, I think we were Eugene, we were needed to adopt Eugene's code as well. We don't have to do that here with Springfield.
Well, I can't speak to the Eugene application, but in the case of this, you're being asked to review the Type 2 Metro Plan Amendment. So Lane Code Section 12.205 requires joint planning commission review with both the city and Lane County Planning Commissions. And it's this particular amendment, because it's between the city limits boundary and the metro plan and UGB boundaries, it is classified as a Type 2 amendment. And one other thing I'll add, I think I received a question from Commissioner Weeks earlier today with regards to how this will impact county lands. So this proposal for a metro plan amendment is limited to the portions of the property that are within the metro plan boundary, which is coterminous with the urban growth boundary. So the portions of the subject site that are designated forests on the rural comprehensive plan and are zoned impacted forest and forest lands and non-impacted forest lands, those will retain their rural comprehensive plan designation and their Lane County zoning.
Kind of a two-part question. Being that this is in an area that obviously has some topographic issues as well as maybe geologic issues, and there's a lack of infrastructure, it would certainly be less desirable developable land as single-family residential. Would that not be correct?
I would say that's correct. And I guess one observation that was made is that in looking at the landslide hazard data, the areas of highest risk are mostly on the perimeter, and there are some areas that are kind of central or in embedded within this area, fingers and marbling, as it's been described, within the land holding where development would be more, I guess, accommodated. It could be more accommodated. But the challenge is getting there, both access and utilities, in order to develop in pockets of this area. So it is correct. This area has long been identified as a potential parks and open space. It's been identified as a significant development impediment through the steep slopes. There's about 500 feet of elevation gain through this area from Mackenzie Highway up to kind of the highest point of land in a fairly short distance. So you have a lot of extremely steep slopes, rugged terrain, rock outcrops, that are really a significant challenge to develop.
And then the second part to my question is, I noted that the UGB oftentimes crosses tax lots in this area, and I was wondering how common that is at the UGB, and then also might it be a good idea in the future to either exclude or totally include tax lots within the UGB for a future UGB expansion or UGB change?
You're correct. The UGB runs essentially is a delineated boundary that does not largely follow any legal lot lines in this area. I guess I would point to the Hayden Bridge area as being very similar to that, where I believe that a lot of it was based on the floodplain delineation between floodway and the flood fringe areas. And so it runs through a number of deep parcels that run back from Hayden Bridge Road to the river. So there's a small portion sort of up on the street frontage that is inside the city's urban growth boundary, the balance being largely agricultural lands that are outside the urban growth boundary. But it bisects or truncates the different properties, and there's no actual legal lot line there. However, the city has identified the exact location of that. What was, I believe, done as a pen mark or a marker on a map a long time ago, which would represent a very significant swath when you look at the actual scale of the map, was fine-tuned. And so there are the UGB has been identified through like a description of being, you know, 375 feet north of the edge of right-of-way and Hayden Bridge, et cetera. Mm. This one is, I guess, not having looked at the UGB legal description for this area, but it has been identified and defined as to its specific location in this property. So your point is well taken. I guess the various aspects of developability, overall area, and what was attributed to buildable versus not, and I guess the way that the city's evolved over years and decades has translated into this urban growth boundary, and it's not, I guess, well defined by legal lot lines, unfortunately. So,
just I want to be absolutely sure what the county's role in this is. As I understand it, the urban growth boundary and the plan boundary are coterminous, and so anything that's outside of UGB, we're not amending the rural comprehensive plan and we're not rezoning, so we're doing nothing with the county's land within the UGB. Because the metro plan diagram is being changed, the metro plan requires the county to sign off on it. But because I believe that there's an agreement between the city and the county, so the city has planning jurisdiction inside the UGB, does it not? So we don't, the county doesn't even have to sign off on the rezoning within the UGB, does it?
That's correct. It's just the metro plan amendment.
Yeah. They're being run concurrently for expediency.
No, I understand that, but I want to be sure what the county is being asked to approve. And it's nothing but an amendment to the metro plan to redesignate this from low-density residential area into urban growth boundary.
Correct.
To parks.
That's correct.
Bob? I have a question for you, Amber, just to follow up. In Willamma Lane's application to Springfield, they mentioned that the section which lies in Lane County's area will follow the normal planning process.
Mm-hmm.
Will this meeting tonight affect in any way express or implied approval of anything that's going to happen, and will it be allowed to go through in the normal way that it would do?
Yes, so this proposed plan amendment just would affect the portions of the subject site that are within the metro plan boundary and within the urban growth boundary. So it has no effect on the Lane County zoning outside of that boundary. And I believe what the applicant is referencing is there may be certain park uses in the F1 and F2 zone that require county review that may be through a special use permit. I can discuss that a little more in the public hearing as well, but whether or not there is a special use permit required for a public park in the F1 or F2 zones, or there's another land use application or process required, that would be independent from this application before you tonight.
Great, thanks.
Can I add to that?
Sure.
I guess a good analogy might be the recent Millrace pathway extension, which crossed into Lane County territory. So there are portions of the pathway that runs from the Booth Kelly site down to the Middle Fork pathway confluence area, There were a couple of bridge crossings, and those fell within Lane County jurisdiction primarily. So there was two parallel track processes for approval of that recreational pathway. So this would be a similar situation whereby the, as I understand it, the forest zoning and designation does allow for recreational facilities and amenities like trails and natural area parks. However, low density residential does not. And so that's why the redesignation and rezoning to parks and open space designation, public land and open space zoning, would allow for a large natural area park to be preserved essentially, and then built with fairly low impact facilities such as walking and mountain biking trails, or maybe some benches, you know, in a trailhead parking lot and that sort of thing. So that's what has precipitated this whole process for Willamma Lane.
Thank you. Thanks, Andy.
Okay.
So, members of the planning, the Lane County Planning Commission, Greg and I were talking, and should we get to the end here this evening where we close both the hearing and the record, it's possible we could enter into deliberations. We'll do kind of a pulse check at that time and see if there's any reason why we need to do that at a later date. But assuming we carry on this evening with deliberations, would there be any objection from the Lane County Planning Commission's point of view of holding deliberations with the Springfield Planning Commission?
Personally, I don't care, although we do have deliberations on another subject that's unrelated to this.
Correct.
And if we do this one together, we can just separate and do both of them. It doesn't make any difference. But we have to do both of them.
Correct. Right. But I think we're kind of leaning towards joint deliberations if it's okay with the Springfield side to see how that fares.
And Springfield commissioners, your feelings in regard to joint deliberations, should we reach that point?
Positive
on this topic.
So unless we get into a big argument, we'll try that.
More diverse points of views.
Yeah.
That's right.
And then we would, of course, make separate recommendations or take separate action.
Take separate action. All right.
In favor.
Okay. Any further question for staff? Questions for staff? Yes.
I wanted to ask, are you going to go further into discussing Goal 7 and the issues there, or should I ask now?
You can ask now if you want. The applicant was, staff did suggest to them that they might consider, preparing additional findings and some a little bit of bolster their argument for the Goal 7 analysis that they provided. And so they have been seeking additional information, and I don't know what they may have found.
Okay, I can wait for that.
Presented in their presentation this evening, so.
Okay.
But that would be a fair question to ask both of staff and the applicant. So I think we're looking to the city's GIS department to get some additional information so they can do some more slope analysis and stuff.
Gotcha.
Well, that is a good question, though, because I think the way I read the reports, I think the staff recommendation actually changed. Didn't you go from suggesting the applicant bolster the Goal 7 mm-hmm. discussion to actually then saying, no, it's fine?
We did. The recommendation was for approval as is, but we feel that it would help their cause down the line for them to consider introducing some information into the record for their, as to the Goal 7 findings that they've done. So.
But their subsequent action in public hearing with City Council and Planning Commission as well.
That's correct. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you want me to clarify that the change came from?
Yes.
So originally the recommendation had been that they should provide more information and that you should either consider leaving your record open or your hearing open to take in that information. We determined that information would be persuasive and helpful to William Lane in our view, but not necessary for them to submit to show that they comply with criteria of approval. And so I did not feel as a City Council that it would be appropriate to recommend that you delay your decision because that information was not necessary to show compliance with approval criteria.
Okay. Other questions? Hearing none, we'll take a break till 7 o'clock.
Sure.
I don't know if you did a little better, but you're a little smoother.